Mass. The station at Rome is in the Church of St. Lawrence outside the walls. The ancient liturgists observe the relation between the just Abel, who's been murdered by Cain, is the subject of one of the responsories of today's Matins, and the courageous martyr, over whose tomb the Church of Rome commences her Septuagesima. The introit describes the fears of death, wherewith Adam and his whole posterity are tormented in consequence of sin. But in the midst of all this misery, there is heard a cry of hope, for man is still permitted to ask mercy from his God. God gave man a promise on the very day of his condemnation. The sinner needs but to confess his miseries, and the very Lord against whom he sinned will become his deliverer. Introit. The groans of death surrounded me, and the sorrows of hell encompassed me, and in my affliction I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice from his holy temple. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my firmament, my refuge, and my deliverer. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the Collect, the Church acknowledges that her children justly suffer the chastisements, which are the consequences of sin. But she beseeches her divine Lord to send them that mercy which will deliver them. Collect. Mercifully hear, we beseech thee, O Lord, the prayers of thy people, that we who are justly afflicted for our sins may be mercifully delivered for the glory of thy name. Second Collect. Preserve us, O Lord, we beseech thee, from all dangers of soul and body, and by the intercession of the glorious and blessed Mary, the ever-Virgin Mother of God, of blessed Joseph, of thy blessed apostles Peter and Paul, and of all the saints, grant us, in thy mercy, health and peace, that all adversities and errors being removed, thy Church may serve thee with undisturbed liberty. The priest adds a third collect, which is left to his own choice. Epistle. Lesson of the Epistle of St. Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. 1. Chapter 9 and 10. Brethren, know you not that they that run in the race all run indeed, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every one that striveth for the mastery refraineth himself from all things. And they indeed that they may receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not as at an uncertainty. I so fight, not as one beating the air, but I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all in Moses were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, and they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with the most of them, God was not well pleased. These stirring words of the apostle deepen the sentiments already produced in us by the sad recollections of which we are this day reminded. He tells us that this world is a race, wherein all must run, but that they alone win the prize who run well. Let us therefore rid ourselves of everything that could impede us, and make us lose our crown. Let us not deceive ourselves. We are never sure until we reach the goal. Is our conversion more solid than was St. Paul's? Are our good works better done or more meritorious than were his? Yet he assures us that he was not without the fear that he might perhaps be lost, for which cause he chastised his body and kept it in subjection to the spirit. Man, in his present state, has not the same will for all that is right and just, which Adam had before he sinned, and which, notwithstanding, he abused to his own ruin. We have a bias which inclines us to evil, so that our only means of keeping our ground is to sacrifice the flesh to the spirit. To many this is very harsh doctrine, hence they are sure to fail. They can never win the prize. Like the Israelites spoken of by our apostle, they will be left behind to die in the desert, and so lose the promised land. Yet they saw the same miracles that Joshua and Caleb saw. So true is it that nothing can make a salutary impression on a heart which is obstinately bent on fixing all its happiness in the things of this present life. And though it is forced each day to own that they are vain, yet each day it returns to them, vainly but determinedly loving them. The heart, on the contrary, that puts its trust in God and mans itself to energy by the thought of the divine assistance being abundantly given to him that asks it, will not flag or faint in the race, and will win the heavenly prize. God's eye is unceasingly on all them that toil and suffer. These are the truths expressed in the gradual. Gradual. A helper in due time, in tribulation, let them trust in thee who know thee, for thou dost not forsake them that seek thee, O Lord. For the poor man shall not be forgotten to the end. The patience of the poor man shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. The tract sends forth our cry to God, and the cry is from the very depths of our misery. Man is humbled exceedingly by the fall, but he knows that God is full of mercy, and that in his goodness he punishes our iniquities less than they deserve. Were it not so, none of us could hope for pardon. Tract. From the depths I have cried to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the prayer of thy servant. If thou shalt observe iniquities, O Lord, Lord, who shall endure it? For with thee is propitiation, and by reason of thy law I have expected thee, O Lord. Gospel. Sequel of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 20. At that time Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like to a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you what shall be just. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, and did in like manner. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he saith to them, Why stand you here all the day idle? They say to him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith to them, Go you also into my vineyard. And when evening was come, the lord of the vineyard saith to his steward, Call the laborers and pay them their hire, beginning from the last even to the first. When, therefore, they were come that came about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first also came, they thought that they should receive more, and they also received every man a penny. And receiving it, they murmured against the master of the house, saying, These last have worked but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us that have borne the burden of the day and the heats. But he answering said to one of them, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take what is thine and go thy way. I will also give to this last even as to thee. Or is it not lawful for me to do what I will? Is thy eye evil because I am good? So shall the last be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen. It is of importance that we should well understand this parable of the gospel, and why the Church inserts it in today's liturgy. Firstly, then, let us recall to mind on what occasion our Savior spoke this parable, and what instruction he intended to convey by it to the Jews. He wishes to warn them of the fast approach of the day when their law is to give way to the Christian law, and he would prepare their minds against the jealousy and prejudice which might arise in them at the thought that God was about to form a covenant with the Gentiles. The vineyard is the Church in its several periods, from the beginning of the world to the time when God himself dwelt among men and formed all true believers into one visible and permanent society. The morning is the time from Adam to Noah. The third hour begins with Noah and ends with Abraham. The sixth hour includes the period which elapsed between Abraham and Moses. And lastly, the ninth hour opens with the age of the prophets and closes with the birth of the Savior. The Messiah came at the 11th hour, when the world seemed to be at the decline of its day. Mercies unprecedented were reserved for this last period, during which salvation was to be given to the Gentiles by the preaching of the apostles. It is by this mystery of mercy that our Savior rebukes the Jewish pride. By the selfish murmurings made against the master of the house, by the early laborers, our Lord signifies the indignation which the scribes and Pharisees would show at the Gentiles being adopted as God's children. Then he shows them how their jealousy would be chastised. Israel, that had labored before us, shall be rejected for their obduracy of heart. And we Gentiles, the last comers, shall be made first, for we shall be made members of that Catholic Church which is the bride of the Son of God. This is the interpretation of our parable given by St. Augustine and St. Gregory the Great, and by the generality of the Holy Fathers. But it conveys a second instruction, as we are assured by the two holy doctors just named. It signifies the calling given by God to each of us individually, pressing us to labor during this life for the kingdom prepared for us. The morning is our childhood. The third hour, according to the division used by the ancients in counting their day, is sunrise. It is our youth. The sixth hour, by which name they called our midday, is manhood. The 11th hour, which immediately preceded sunset, is old age. The master of the house calls his laborers at all these various hours. They must go that very hour. They that are called in the morning may not put off their starting for the vineyard under pretext of going afterwards, when the master shall call them later on. Who has told them that they shall live to the 11th hour? They that are called at the third hour may be dead at the sixth. God will call to the laborers of the last hour such as shall be living when that hour comes. But if we should die at midday, that last call will not avail us. Besides, God has not promised us a second call if we excuse ourselves from the first. At the offertory, the church invites us to celebrate the praises of God. God has mercifully granted us that the hymns we sing to the glory of His name should be our consolation in this vale of tears. Offertory. It is good to give praise to the Lord and to sing to thy name, O Most High. Secret. Having received, O Lord, our offerings and prayers, cleanse us, we beseech thee, by these heavenly mysteries, and mercifully hear us. Second Secret. Graciously grant us, O God, our Savior, that by virtue of this sacrament, thou mayest defend us from all enemies, both of soul and body, giving us grace in this life and glory in the next. The third secret is left to the priest's own choice. In the communion antiphon, the church prays that man, having now been regenerated by the bread of heaven, may regain that likeness to his God which Adam received at his creation. The greater our misery, the stronger should be our hope in him who descended to us, that we might ascend to him. Communion. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me in thy mercy. Let me not be confounded, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Post-communion. May thy faithful, O God, be strengthened by thy gifts, that by receiving them, they may ever hunger after them, and hungering after them, they may have their desires satisfied in the everlasting possession of them. Second Post-Communion. May the oblation of this divine sacrament, we beseech thee, O Lord, both cleanse and defend us, and by the intercession of Blessed Mary, the Virgin Mother of God, of Blessed Joseph, of the Blessed Apostles, Peter and Paul, and of all the saints, free us from all sin, and deliver us from all adversity. The third post-communion is left to the priest's own choice.